big, but we ought to brag on the Lord about the what some would call little things that He does just as well. And I just want to give you an example tonight. You think I look pretty good tonight? Somebody told me they liked my tie. I was in South Korea preaching a missions conference, and the pastor took me to a little shop, and a guy started measuring me. And if you look inside, it says Tony Stark on that coat. He made the coat and the pants for me, and I'm still wearing them. But the pants got a little bit tight. But the Lord, I'm telling you, is so good. I have a supporting church in Montgomery, Alabama, and there was a man in the church that he was an elderly man, a former pastor. He'd had a couple of strokes. He was handicapped, and every time I'd go, boy, he was my amener. I mean, he just knew when to say amen, and such a blessing. Well, when he died, his wife called, and she wanted to give me all his suits. So these pants I got on were his pants, and they go with the coat. And the missionary in South Korea took me to another shop, and he said, pick you out a tie. And I picked out this one. And so isn't God good? Amen. I'm telling you, He's much better than we recognize, than we give Him credit for. And I'm not ashamed to tell you I'm wearing a dead man's pants. You know, it has been, always is, Kathy and I have been here a number of times, and is always just wonderful. A taste of heaven. Got a new prayer card. It's got things on both sides, and if you don't have one, we encourage you to come by and get one. And our book, Unto Him Be Glory, it's just about God. It's about God and things that He has done over in Uganda and some of the neighboring countries. Got pictures of Brother Julius on there, Brother Fred, Brother Stanley. And who's that fourth guy, honey? Brother Bernard. I know his name, but I just was having a moment. It's been in the last year I've preached two times. This will be my first time to preach in almost a year. I preached two times in Rwanda a couple of months ago, but just I have a little problem up here sometimes. And thank God for a good wife that can be a helpmeet, huh? My wife tells me all the time, she says, or she'll be telling somebody, my goal in life was just to be a good helpmeet to my husband. And I tell her, you've passed the test. Amen. She wrote this little thank you note and was going to leave it on the table. And I read it and I said, I need to read that because somebody might not get to hear it. NBC is the place to be. Christ-honored meetings, full tummy feedings. Music like heaven, starting at 7. New friends and old, preaching that's bold. For men you are fishing and give much to missions. God is blessed by NBC. Let us say that so are we. To just say thank you is so small, but we are saying thanks to all for all you are and do. We love you, Brother Stark and family. Praise the Lord for Maranatha Baptist Church. Maranatha Baptist Church. And you know, we've been in a lot of churches over the years, a lot of missions conferences, churches of different sizes, but I can tell you that I have not been in a church that had better music than we had this week. Amen. I mean the choir, the special music, not just the way they're singing, but the words. I've been listening to the words, and the special music. I mean, it's just all been good for my heart. And so you've just been, you probably ought to have a missions conference every week of the year, because you could be a blessing to so many people. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Robert Moffat, one of the great and early missionaries in Africa, was in the southwestern part when David Livingstone went to Africa. And he told Livingstone, "Don't go where other missionaries are." He said, "From where I am, I can see the smoke of 1,000 villages where no one has ever yet gone and shared the good news of Jesus Christ." David Livingstone, probably as much an explorer as a missionary, but people were trying to keep track of Livingstone and what he was doing, and he would give reporting, but there came the day when there was no response. No one was getting any response from David Livingstone, and they were concerned, thinking that maybe he had died. And so a newspaper sent a man by the name of Henry Stanley, a newspaper reporter, to find David Livingstone. So he went to Africa, South Africa there, and looking for Livingstone, and he found him, as a matter of fact. And he went on back to Europe, and as he went back, he put an article in the newspaper. He had met, he went back a second time, Stanley did, and he went to Uganda. And when he went to Uganda, he met Chief Mutesa, who was king of the Buganda people there along the shores of Lake Victoria. He met Chief Mutesa, and they conversed, and Mutesa was not saved, didn't get saved, as a matter of fact. But Stanley went back, and he put an article in the newspaper that they needed missionaries. They needed missionaries in Uganda along Lake Victoria. A man by the name of Alexander Mackie from Scotland, Alexander Mackie had been preparing. He had in his heart, he wanted to go and spread the gospel, and whatever, his daddy was a preacher, and he wanted to go. So he prepared. He was a knowledgeable man. He was a man that did a lot of practical things. He was an engineer, a lot of practical things. But he was ready, just waiting on God. That's where we ought to be. Ready. Waiting on God. And he saw the newspaper. And when he got the newspaper, there was this little article in there that was written by Stanley. And he said something to the effect that they're waiting for missionaries. And he said, "That's my call." And so Alexander Mackie got together with seven other men, eight of them, and they were going to go to Uganda to preach the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, eight of them. And it got close to the day they were going to leave, and the group that was sending them, they were meeting together, and they were talking and giving testimonies. And just at the end, Mackie stood up and he said, "I need to make one thing clear. You're sending eight men from Scotland, from England here. You're sending eight men to Central Africa to tell people about Jesus Christ." He said, "Don't be surprised if we're gone 6 months and you get word that one of us is gone." is dead. Don't be surprised. Just send somebody to take his place.
Amen.
After 6 months, five of them were dead. They hadn't even gotten to Uganda yet, just crossing from the ocean into Africa, and five of them were dead. Within the next year, two more were dead. And the only one left was Alexander Mackey. He built a boat, got in a boat in Lake Victoria, and traveled to the shores of Uganda. And he met Chief Mutesa. And again, Mutesa was not saved, but he was friendly to the missionary. He had been friendly to Henry Stanley, but he didn't get saved, really wasn't interested in the things of God, but he did like some of the things that Mackey would say. Mutesa died, and a new king came into power, and his name was Mwanza. Mwanza was worse than Mutesa. And he persecuted, killed those that were following the missionary and seeking to follow God. Story was told about one afternoon, three young men were coming through the weeds, whatever. And some men caught them, three young boys. And they asked them about Jesus. And these young men told them that they were saved, that he was their Savior. And they questioned the three boys a great, great deal and gave them opportunity to deny the Lord, but they wouldn't. So they tied them up. They built a little rack there and hung them on the rack and built the fire under them and started roasting them. And roasted them till they died, and then cut them up and different things. And it was sometime after that point that in Uganda, they set aside a certain day per year and called it Martyrs Day, based upon what had happened with these three young boys. Three boys who had died for the Lord Jesus Christ. Question is, are you willing to die? I'm not talking about next year or 5 years from now or 10 years from now. Are you willing to die tonight? Don't get scared. I'm not going to pull my AK-47 out and shoot everybody, okay? That's happening in the USA. But I'm asking you an honest question. Are you willing to die tonight? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8 it says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31, Paul made this statement. He said, I die daily. Three little words. I die daily. I think those three little words are probably the key to the fruitful and successful life of the Apostle Paul. I die daily. He wasn't talking about dying physically. He wasn't talking about dying spiritually. He had been dead spiritually and was now alive spiritually. He wasn't talking about dying spiritually. I believe he was talking about dying sacrificially. Now we're going to put it all together. Stay with me. I die daily. Turn with me now to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And verses that many of you probably have memorized. But in Romans chapter 12, as Paul has shared so much doctrine in the book of Romans, and then he starts to get very practical how to live it out when we get to the latter part of Romans. And he says in chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't you like that latter part there? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's not my will. It's not your will. It's not my mom's will. It's not my dad's will. It's not my pastor's will. It's the will of God. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 1 again. I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Doesn't say a dead sacrifice. God isn't necessarily looking for us to physically die, as some have. He may do that with some of us, but He is looking for all of us while we're alive. Not when we die, but while we are alive, to be a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. I believe when Paul said, I die daily, he was saying that he dies sacrificially. It's not dying physically and it's not dying spiritually. Well, how is it? What did he mean when he said, I die daily? Daily, there were times he had to die. And I want to share with you three ways tonight that we need to die like the Apostle Paul died. Dying sacrificially. Number one, we need to die to self. Well, that's an easy one, isn't it? Not so easy to do, but easy to understand why we need to die to self. And a living sacrifice, as we see in Romans chapter 12, it simply means to live in sacrifice of self. Saying no. No, Tony. No, Tony. No, Tony. Now I'm alive. Are you with me? I'm here at Maranatha Baptist Church tonight. I'm preaching tonight. But I may have to die to self. I prayed about it before I ever got up in the pulpit tonight. Die to self. Remember that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. Said it twice there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Years ago, my brother and I were in the same church and we were working with young people and we had an activity, and I'm not going to give you all the details, take too much time, but I'm going to tell you that in this particular activity, they were going to have a main speaker that night, and they had a casket. They had a casket right there, very near where the man would be speaking. They had a casket, and my brother was in that casket, and he was supposed to be dead. Now, he was alive. I know he was alive because I talked to him before he got in there, and I know he was alive because I talked to him when he got out of there, all right? But everybody that passed by, all these young people, we had well over 1,000 young people, as they passed by one, and they looked in there and they saw my brother, they didn't see him alive. They saw him dead. He was alive, but dead. Are you with me? Oh, they would shake their hands. They'd get down right over his face. They would do all kinds of things trying to get him to move. He never moved at all. And by the time they all got through there, they thought he was dead because there was no response. But in reality, he was alive. Are you with me? And that's what we're going to have to be and do if the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be made manifest in us. We're alive, but are you willing to die? Number one, die to self. I'm telling you, self rules. Many men are ruled by self, what they want. Many women are ruled by self, what they want. Many young people are ruled by self, what they want, or maybe even what somebody else wants. We're living in days of self-centered Christianity. People come and go, they say, you ask them, what are you looking for in a church? And it won't be about Christ. Their answer won't be about Christ. Well, they'll have all kinds of questions. Do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? But what about Jesus? Where does Jesus? If you don't have anything, it ought to be about Jesus. And that ought to be what we're looking for. It's not what can I do for the church, but what can the church do for me? Some have the attitude, if I can't, I won't. Well, I can go to town on that. People want Christ, but want to be able to live like they want to live. You know, there are a lot of people, that's the reason they don't get saved. They don't want their life to change. They want to be able to continue the life they're living, and they know if they receive Christ, they are going to be expected to change their way of living, and they don't want to get saved. John the Baptist said he must increase, but I must decrease. John 3:3. Paul said in Acts 9, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Well, that ought to be the attitude of anybody and everybody that gets saved. Amen? I mean, really, if God is really working and the Holy Spirit is really dealing and you are getting born again, that next question is, what do you want me to do, Lord? Was for Paul, and we admire Paul. We think Paul is just one of the greatest men that ever lived. Well, look how he started. He got saved, and then he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? When you say, Lord, what will thou have me to do, you got to be ready to die to self, because you might not get to do what you want to do. Galatians, let's turn over there. again, a verse that I know many of you are familiar with, and we could quote it. Galatians 2:20, such a full verse. Galatians 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, dead, but alive. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, Jesus said, and I'm going to share with you four passages because I want you to see the number of times for the emphasis. But look with me in John. Turn to John chapter 4, and we're going to look at several passages here. So just hang on. John chapter 4 and verse 34. I think Brother Bob read this in his message. Was it you? Yeah. John 4 and verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now that's what Jesus said. His meat was to do the will of him that sent him. All right, turn over a page to chapter 5 and verse 30. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And then in chapter 6 and verse 38, chapter 6 and verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. That's three times in just three chapters that Jesus makes it very clear. He's not out to do his will. He's out to do his Father's will. Amen. And then comes time for the cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection. And as he's conversing, he's talking to the Father. He says, thy will be done. He's going to the cross. Thy will be done. We've got to die to self. It's not what I want. It's what God wants. I think, again, one of the men mentioned, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't think of any greater words that we could hear than if we will hear that in the future. But we got to do God's will. If we're going to hear that, we've got to do God's will. When Kathy and I had been married just a couple of years, we had our first baby, little girl, Laura Michelle. And oh me, what a blessing. When she got to be two, she got into everything, everything. Anybody ever experience that? When she gets to be two, I didn't know what to do. It's the first time we'd never had a baby. We never had a child. So I went to my pastor. I explained the situation to him, and I said, what do we do? You've had children. What do we do? And he said, break her will, but don't break her spirit. See, with a spirit that is full of joy, we ought to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to say no to our will to say yes to His will. No to our will to say yes to His will. No to our will to say yes to His will. Not my will, but thine be done. We've got to learn to die to self. It's like Gary laying in that coffin. They did everything they could to get a response from him. But he was dead. There was no response. But in reality, he was alive. In reality, you and I are alive, but we need to die tonight. If you're not already dead to self, you can think of illustrations, you can think of situations where you do need to die, even right now. You know, Paul said, I die daily, and I don't think Paul was just talking about getting up in the morning and in his devotions, praying those words and saying to the Lord, I'm dying today. Maybe that's how he started, but I venture to say, before the day was over, he had to die again, and maybe later in the afternoon, there may have been four or five times when the flesh would rise up, and the flesh would try to take over, and the flesh would try, and the world also, and the devil out there would try to get you to do what you want to do instead of what God wants to do. What do? Die. I'm dying right now. I'm dying right now. I'm going to die every time. Amen? Are you willing to die? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our flesh. Well, number one, we need to die to self. And number two, we need to die to sin. Now I'm going to say something and you may call me a heretic. Preacher may tell me not to come back. When God saves us, we're born again. We have a new life. All of our sin is wiped away. We're forgiven. Clean new life. I don't believe God expects or wants us to ever sin again. Now, I'm not talking about obtaining sinless perfection. And you, some people, I had a man in Africa tell me, he says, I've never sinned since the day I got saved. He was an elderly man. He told me, he says, since I got saved, I've never sinned. Now, I believe it's God's will. I believe God saved us. I believe there is the ability through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, to walk above sin, walk apart from sin. But we are in the fleshly body. We are in the world. There is the devil, and we do sin. Are you with me? But we need to die to sin. There are sins of omission. You don't do what you're told to do. You omit. There are sins of commission. You do what you are told not to do. You commit things that you're not supposed to. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. What a chapter. What a book. Oh, it's part of the Bible. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, likewise, in the same manner, you'd have to go back and reread and study, and we don't have time for that tonight, but likewise, in verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. That's the will of God. It's God's will tonight for me to be dead. No response unto sin. Don't we expect that when people get saved? Don't you think people's lives are going to change when they profess Jesus Christ as their Savior? God has given us the ability, the same Holy Spirit that indwelt Jesus, the same Holy Spirit that was indwelling the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Temptation when he tempted and he tempted and he tempted, and Jesus had the Word of God, and over and over and over again he had victory over the devil, and the devil went away. That's the kind of life God wants us to live. And he's given us the ability with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that indwelt Jesus, dwelling inside of us. And we have the Word of God, the same Word of God that he used when he defeated the devil and sent him down the road. It says in verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also, count on it, bank on it. reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We need to be dead to sin. Sin, that's a big subject. The list would be long. Things like adultery. We don't have any trouble admitting that's sin, do we? Fornication, drunkenness, pornography. Do you think it's right for a man to look at pictures of naked women when he's got a wife? Do you think it's right at any time? Are you with me? It's sin. Boy. Cursing, lying, stealing, gossip. Yeah, gossip. Murder. Here's one that people forget, but I see it over and over in the Bible as much as one is covetousness. Covetousness. But here's one we're having trouble with. Homosexuality. Now I want to say something. Just listen to me. Don't get shook up yet, all right? Just listen. A number of years ago, I said that little by little, churches and people are going to be less willing to take a stand about homosexuality. Now again, stay with me. Please don't turn me off here. When I was a boy, when I was a young man, when I first became an adult, if there was anybody involved in anything like that, you called it a queer because it was queer. And you say, why are you preaching on this in a missions conference? You'll see in just a moment. We called it queer, and it was wrong. It was wrong. You said it was wrong back then. But recently now, as things have been changing, I've told people, give it a little bit of time, and it's going to become more and more acceptable because people are going to have it in their family. Churches are going to have it in their church, or somebody in their church has got it in their family. Anyway, it's just going to become more common, and people are not going to want to deal with it because it's part of their life through their brother, through their sister, through their son, through their daughter. Are you following me? You understanding? Now, recently, I've had it said, and I have it said, and you probably heard it. People try to say, well, there's nothing wrong with it. She was born that way. No, she wasn't. Right. No. Don't listen to the lie of the devil. Don't listen to the world. Nobody was born a homosexual. Nobody. I don't care how they feel now. I don't care what they say. If you were a drunkard before you got saved, you weren't born a drunkard. Right. You didn't come out of your mama wanting to have some liquor. Are you with me? If you were a little boy, you didn't come out of your mama wanting to have a sexual relationship with a woman. Are you following what I'm saying? No, you were born with a sinful nature. And that sinful nature will cause you to want to sin, to want to maybe take a drink. Maybe you don't, but others do. To maybe tell a lie. Maybe you don't, but others do. Different sins affect people in different ways. Some people don't have a problem with some sins, and some people have a problem with many different kinds of sin. But what happens is they're born into this sinful world with a sinful nature. And as they live out their life in this world and they grow up and they are exposed to things, why do you think we have churches and we have Christian schools and we practice separation? To try to keep these temptations from coming into our life. We have a sinful nature. And just like a man, he marries this woman, he sees her and he falls in love with her and he marries her and he just loves her and loves her. And they've been married now for 5 years. But then one day, he sees that woman in his office. Are you with me? Last year he had no desire for another woman. But you know how it can develop. And it's the same way. We're living in a day when people are looking for something new. Nothing satisfies. Oh, well, but you need to find. And it's being so put forth now. People are accepting it. And because it's so prevalent in the lives of friends, don't talk about my friend that way. Preacher, you don't understand. She was born that way. No, she wasn't born that way. She was born with a sinful nature. And that sinful nature leads to various kinds of sin. And we know that homosexuality is a sin because of what God said about it in God's Word. Amen. Don't tell me. So you see, going back to this, I wanted to use something that is so prevalent today, but people are denying. My point is this: a person who is saved and is going to be used to reveal, to make known, to manifest the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to have to die to sin. And I'm in the bowling alley. 22 years old. Go to the bathroom. I'm not even going to tell you what he said, but I'm just going to say he said, this man approached me. Oh, I got out of there, and I went back to the people that I was bowling with, and they said, what's wrong? I mean, my face was so flushed, and by that time, I'm just going to be honest with you, by that time, I was angry, and I was ready to go whip him. I mean it. I went back out. I was going to find a guy and whip him. But here's my point. When you face something like that, something that may be lesser, something that may be more in a greater way, you got to die to self. That's when you got to just say no. You got to die to self. No. No. And what happens is when you continue to say yes and say no to these sins, that's when you have victory. And that's when you're living a life that will manifest the Lord Jesus Christ. When others, they took knowledge of them that they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. That's when that's going to happen. But you've got to die. You've got to die, number one, people. You've got to die to self. You got to die to sin. And number three, we've got to die to serve. Dying to self is dying to a person. Dying to sin is dying to a practice. You do it one time, there'll be a second. If you never do it one time, you'll never do it a second time. Are you with me? If you never take a drink, you'll never be an alcoholic. If you never tell a lie, you'll never be a liar. But if you ever take one drink, you've opened the door for you to become an alcoholic. We've got to die to serve, and that's a purpose. We die to sin, and we die to self so that we can die to serve, a purpose to serve Jesus and to serve others. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, and we're almost done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, one of my favorite passages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul writing about the believers at Thessalonica that got saved and how their lives had changed. And he says in verse 8, for from you sounded out, chapter 1, verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. We're servants of the devil. We're servants of the flesh. We're servants of the world when we get saved. But when we get saved, we become servants of God, the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that one that saved us. Turn with me also to Galatians. Galatians, back up just a few pages. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Boy, there's a statement. That'll fit a lot of things today. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You know what that's going to require? If I'm going to serve others, I'm going to have to sacrifice. I'm going to have to say no to self. Sometimes God wants me to give. And if I listen to self, I won't give. But if I listen to God and I have to say no, die to self, I can give what God would have me to give. Dying to serve. Dying to self to serve. Dying to sin to serve. I had a cousin. It's been a few years back. He was a car salesman, a good car salesman, sold cars for Ford. That makes no difference. But he was a good car salesman, but he retired. And then we hadn't seen each other for some time, and so something brought us together, and as we got together and we talked, he went back to work selling cars. And I asked him, I said, what's going on? And he said, well, I want to get involved. I want to get involved. I invited him to make a trip to Africa with me. No, I'm not getting on an airplane. Oh, I shouldn't have said that, should I? Somebody here will use that now. I'm not getting on an airplane. But he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going back to work, and I'm going to sell cars so I can give money. He was giving us $1,000 a month. But he sacrificed, see, to serve us, to serve people in Africa. And for a number of years, I'll close with this. Back in those days when I was working, Kathy and I were working with young people. Our church got a youth program, and sometimes when you get programs, they require some things. You have the Master's Club. I'm sure there are some requirements for you to be able to use the Master's Club program. This particular program, if you were a leader in this using this material, now don't laugh, but this organization said, you couldn't go to the movie theater. You don't hear that much anymore, but back in the days, that was a big thing. And it said you can't play cards. And so my pastor gave us the paper we're supposed to sign saying we wouldn't go to the movie theater, we wouldn't play cards. Now, I wasn't an independent Baptist then. I was in a different Baptist group. And he gave us this paper and for us to sign. He was going to come by and pick them up. And so when he brought them, I said, Pastor, I can't sign that. And he said, why? What? And I said, it's not that I want to go to the movie theater. We didn't even go. And I said, it's not that I want to play cards. That's not a problem. But he said, I just don't want somebody telling me I can't do it. He said, that's the way you want it? And I said, yes, sir. So he left. Well, I knew right then and there that it wasn't going to work. Because as I was thinking in my heart and trying to live for God as a young man, a young couple, I thought to myself, this isn't going to work. I called him. I called him within a couple minutes. It had to be a few minutes because he had to get home. I called him and I said, Pastor, if you'll come back, I've already signed the papers, I'll give them to you. And what I said to him was, I said, I'm not going to let anything keep me from serving God. Right or wrong,
yes,
if that's their rule, it's okay. I'm going to work with young people. I want to help young people.
Yes,
you see, I had to die right then. I had to make a decision. I'm going to die to self to serve, see, so that I can serve. And I'm telling you, God wants us to die daily. Are you willing to die? That's how we started. Tonight, do you need to die to self? Is there something that's keeping you, that's standing in the way? It's you, it's self. It's not God, it's just you. And tonight, you need to say no to it, no response. You need to tell God, I'm dying to that tonight. And no. And every time it comes up, say no. And every time it comes, and before long, you'll have a new pattern in your life. That won't be a problem in your life. Die to sin. Is there a sin in your life tonight that you've been yielding to? You've been giving way to it? You've been letting it happen? And you know it's not right. Even the Bible, you can find it, but you just haven't died to that sin. What about serving? I don't know what's needed in this church, but I tell you this. I'm looking for somebody to say, I'll partner with you. And then when you pass on, I'll just continue on in the ministry. See, for somebody to do that, they'd have to die to serve. Are you with me? Oh, I tell you, you know, there's not an independent Baptist missionary living in Rwanda. Can you imagine that? I'm the only independent Baptist missionary that works in Rwanda, right? There are other countries. There are other towns. Bob can probably tell you about some others. There's probably something the preacher can tell you about right here in this church. Dying. Tonight we need to have a funeral. I'm sure all of us have something we need to die to. Die to self tonight. Die to sin tonight. Die to serve tonight. Now, you say, what about tomorrow? That's tomorrow. You'll have to die again. You'll have to die again in the morning, over and over again. But I'm telling you, the more you die, the more you'll be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I know I've been somewhat, just maybe not what somebody might want to hear, but Lord, I've shared tonight what you put on my heart. I prayed. I've shared it in the way and the spirit. Oh, I pray that people tonight, all of us, would take your word, the scriptures, and we would die tonight. Have your will in your way, I pray in Jesus' name. While she plays, you come and tell God, come and die here tonight. While she plays. Don't listen to self. Listen to God. God, is there something in my life that I need to die to? Is there something that I need to say no to, Lord? Maybe there's somebody here tonight and you need to be born again. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you come this evening? I'll meet you right down here in the altar. And tonight you can receive Christ as your Savior and be born again. Have a new life in Jesus. Would you come? Is there somebody tonight, God's spoken to you this week about missions in some way, maybe about going right here in town, going right here down the road. Maybe God's spoken to you about your giving, about your praying. Pray you the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. We need to pray and pray and pray. It takes time to pray. Let God have his way. Okay, Pastor.
Amen. Man, that was good. I'm going to have the missionary families come if they would. And we just want to have a quick word of prayer for them. And after we pray, the McPikes are going to sing.